Can you imagine being a gardener and then being drafted into the war? This is the Solo Gardener Podcast. I am your merry gardener, and this is episode 8. So, recently on one of my vlogs, I posted about a book called The Caretakers, which was about a bunch of gardeners who were looking after cemetery kind of area and graves for their fallen soldiers. And it was kind of set in World War II. And it kind of just sparked my interest. It's a book that I'm going to be buying, and I kind of did a little read up of it. But it got me thinking about just generally gardeners in war, which I can imagine in World War I, World War II, when it all broke out, I'm sure there's people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of different jobs. But being a gardener, I'm very fascinated by what that experience was like for a gardener and whether anyone told that story. So I started searching and looking, and I found this guy has written a news article about, I think it's about his granddad. And the guy that wrote it is called Matt Peskett. And I'm going to pull it up here for you now. And it was posted quite a while ago in 2018, on a website called Grow Like Granddad. And it might have been about his granddad. So we're going to dive into it. We're going to read the story, and I'm going to read out his article to you, and we have just my thoughts about it and stuff. And I hope you guys like it. So here we go. There's a little picture here with it circled, and I'm going to read this to him. We'll figure out who this person is. Can you imagine being a gardener drafted into the war? You spend each working day looking at nature, admiring her beauty, nurturing life, sowing and growing plants. Then suddenly you're shipped off to a living hell of death and destruction and asked to kill. This is exactly what happened to my great-granddad George Cook and many other gardeners during the Great War, 1914 to 1918. So now we know this is his great-granddad George, and there's a circle around, I guess, George in this picture. What an amazing bit of history he's got there in his family. What bravery. Just to have that, man. That, I'm sure that's on his wall. It's got to be, isn't it? Here we go. We're going to dive in. So George had been a gardener at Tilgate, Crawley. I know Crawley so well. I've got friends who live in Crawley. Since he was 17 years of age. But 10 years later, he was fighting at Somme and Passchendaele. See if they've got that. Passchendaele, I think. The impact of World War I on British gardens was enormous. At Heligan, for example, 12 gardeners left for war and only 3 survived to return. The Royal Botanic Gardens, Kew, lost 19 members of staff to the war. There's the battle. I guess that's the aftermath of the battle in that photo there. So if you're on Spotify, you're not going to see any of these photographs. I urge you to go onto YouTube so you can just have a look at these. They're just so just amazing part of history here. This guy supplied some really good photographs. That's November 1917, the Battle of Passchendaele. Not sure if I pronounced that one. Maybe someone could help me out with that. As a married family man, George was conscripted in June 1916, 2 years into the war. Up until the time, fighting was largely the domain of the single man. Oh, that's fascinating. This undoubtedly saved George's life because he had joined the 13th Battalion Royal Sussex Regiment. Earlier, he would have been with them on the day Sussex died. Which is the infamous and arguably pointless Battle of the Boar's Head, June the 30th, 1916, where almost the entire 13th Battalion of men were killed. Instead, he began his training at Chichester and later moved to a camp near Averley in Essex. It was here on the night of the 2nd of September 1916 that he witnessed the shooting down of the German Zeppelin airship bomber. Here he recalls the experience. I love how he says middle night rather than midnight. see if we can get this playing.
In September, or it might have been the last week in August, I'm not sure. I'd live to... early September, I was on guard there at middle night at one of the gates, and I saw that Zeppelin brought down at Cuffley.
Did you?
Yeah, I was seeing him in the distance. He was about 10 or 14 miles across there, like a big, huge cigar. And of course, they got the searchlights had got him, 9 or 10 searchlights had got onto him. Mm. And then after 3 or 4, 4 or 5 minutes, they all shut off. And it appears that maybe it was one of our chaps on the top, dropped a bum on the thing.
Yes.
And he come, I see him come down and I'm just like a ball of fire. I believe that was a first week in September.
That's right.
That's it. Might have been. I don't know, Jim.
It was, yes. Was it? Because my grandmother saw that as well.
Did she?
Yeah, she was living near Colchester at the time.
Well and ever.
Yes.
Look at that. Oh, I can remember. It was only yesterday. However, soon after then, middle of September, draft, we went off to France.
That's nice to hear his voice. That will be nice for him to have as a memory. So where were we? Okay. Later that month, George went off to France to fight at Somme. He was slightly injured at the Battle of Ancre on 13th of November 1916, but quickly recovered and returned to the front line. In 1917, he was, however, seriously injured, this time at Passchendaele and the Third Battle of Ypres. Ypres. I was very unsure about how to pronounce these. Specifically, the Battle of Pilcom Ridge on the 31st of July 1917, St. Julian. I'll read this quote from George Cook. "You have never seen such a place. It rained so hard the water could run away. As soon as the shell holes were made, they were full of water." You just can't imagine this, can you? It was at St. Julian that George encountered a young, injured German soldier in an enemy trench. And I like to think this is where the gardener in him kicked in. Rather than shoot him dead, as many would in the height of war, he dressed the soldier's wound with a bandage before being told to go away. This treatment might seem like odd behaviour for a man, seeing comrades cut down with unexpected shells and machine gun fire each day, but it seems to me that the men behind the fighting retained some of their humanity on both sides. It was common for German prisoners to be used as stretcher bearers behind Allied lines. I found this photograph of the very same battle showing German soldiers carrying an injured British soldier. It's just insane. Bloody war is crazy, isn't it? Part of it's a party of German prisoners carrying a British stretcher case over difficult ground. 31st of July 1917. Perhaps on some level my great granddad had become accustomed to seeing the Germans as not only the enemy but as human beings capable of giving as well as taking life. Maybe that's why, combined with his background as a gardener and a nurturer of life, he took pity on the wounded German soldier. Expeditionary British. This is a poster I'm looking at. Expeditionary British Force. What's that say? The Hare Vegetable Show. And there's a date of August 14th, 15th, 16th, 1917. Wow, he's got such a good amount of history here. In the midst of the carnage, many gardeners did still find opportunities to encourage new life by growing plants. There are tales of trench gardens on both sides, with no doubt provided food as much as mental escape from the awful reality of trench warfare in August 1917 at Le Havre. military base. There was even a vegetable show. It was so successful that it was repeated again in 1918. Of course, this was not frontline military base under fire from German shelling. It was supporting base with convalescent and rest camps. Gardening was actively being encouraged by medical staff. Horticultural therapy may not be such a modern concept after all. Eventually, after return to Somme and the Battle of St. Quentin, 22nd of March 1918, George picked up dysentery due to the poor conditions in the trenches and was hospitalised again. This time he was sent back to England to recover, and war was almost over by the time he was well enough to return to France. It was quite a miracle that between his numerous battles at Somme and Passchendaele, he wasn't killed. He lost two brothers, William Cook, Charles Cook. They are remembered on the Menin Gate and Thiepval memorials, as their bodies were never identified. That's so sad. Obviously, had George been killed, neither my granddad, mother, me, nor my children would exist. God, this is profound, isn't it? How lucky. He probably thinks, you know, obviously you would do, of course you would. This weekend, as we commemorate the 100th anniversary of the end of the Great War, I think it's important to remember not only the millions who died fighting, but also the millions who weren't born afterwards as a consequence. All those gardeners who didn't return, all those would-be gardeners who were never born and taught to celebrate life through his life itself. I'm extremely thankful for that. For me, that chain has not been broken, that I was given the gift of gardening through my parents, grandparents and great-grandparents. I have a lot of planting to do in the coming days, but as I place each bulb and plug, I will be sure to think about the Great War's lost gardeners. Blimey. And I want to read, there's some comments below here. That's Matt there. What a great story, Matt. I really like that. There's a little bit of information about Matt there. And there's three comments on this thing, and I'm going to read them because I quite liked them. So this person, who is called Shirley Cook, they must be related. Okay, that's got to be maybe his mum or his wife. So thankful for those men from all walks of life who fought and died for our tomorrows. We must never forget a debt, by Shirley Ann Cook. So much depended on those men, husbands, fathers, sons, exchanging pickaxe, plough and pen for gun. So much depended on those men, red-eyed, voiceless, from gas and cold, shell-shocked, sleepless nights, slaughtered, not grown old. So much depended on those men, advancing in rapid rifle rain, the final whistle, a final push, those who returned, never the same. So much depends on us remembering. November 2018. That was a really sweet poem. So Dawn has put, how curious, I've been thinking exactly along those lines myself. My great-granddad was a market gardener in Cats Hill, Worcestershire, and was killed in Messines, Belgium, in 1917 and buried somewhat ironically at Bethlehem Farm Cemetery. Oh, well. I visited his grave a few times and I'm always struck by how beautiful and calm this spot is now. It's still a farm, and the thoughts that must have been going through his head, I'll be thinking of him again when I'm on my allotment today. Thanks for a great and thoughtful article. Now this is John. My granddad came home from World War I. He wasn't an employed gardener but had a wonderful allotment, I remember. I think of him a lot as I get older, especially when I'm in my garden. Oh, mate, it's home. I had a couple of granddads. I had one that was in the Second World War, and I had a granddad that didn't get to war because he was injured, so he never went to war. And it's an amazing sacrifice. And I've been listening to, I think the reason I've done this one, because I've been listening to Jocko. And I don't know if you follow Jocko. I can't remember his surname. Wilco or something like that. But he's got a great podcast, and he does sometimes read war stories. And he recently read one about the Korean War, and it was a young lad, like 17, 18, and it was his diary, and it was absolutely brutal. It was like compelling listening. I was like mainly listening while I was working, because I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm working. Just because all you gardeners out there, 8 hours a day, a solo gardener, podcast, audiobooks are all like the most perfect thing to listen to. And I don't know if you're guys into kind of war stories and stuff, but Jocko's got a great channel for that, and he's just got a great voice as well. I really like listening to him, and he's a Marine, and he just gives a little bit of insight into like what it's like going to war, because he's been there and done it, and it's really fascinating. But yeah, all the people, I think as well, like one thing Jocko reminded me of is a lot of the time a lot of people who don't go to war, you know, and because we're so far away from war ourselves, none of us have been, a lot of us haven't been in that environment. You kind of just see war a lot of the time as a number, but there are a lot of human stories behind these things, especially if you don't come back. What did he say? He said, you either come back like a hero or you just come back as a number. And that's just really sad thought. So he's like putting the stories back out there just to make people aware the horrificness of it. And, you know, I think he's all about communicating first, you know, because he's a great leader as well. I'm really interested to know what you guys thought. Have you guys got any family who are in the Navy, in the war, in the Marines? I'd really fascinated to know any stories, if you want to put it down in the comments. I think all these men are absolute heroes just for putting themselves up for that. And I respect all those people who do that and put their lives on the line for all of us to be here to live life. And I think they deserve a lot more respect and a lot more help as veterans when they come back. I think there's, yeah. Anyway, guys, have a one. I hope you got some, you know, got something from that. And it's just fascinating to have a gardening story related to the war from World War One. Really fascinating. I like listening to those things and reminding us how lucky we are. And we're very grateful for those people back in the day, you know, who fought for our freedom. Guys, have a great day. And I'll see you next week.